All right, last week we started to try to consider for that kind of period in this one, the implications of the idea in the New Testament, especially in two of Paul's letters, 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and then in Ephesians chapter 4, the implications of the idea that God, the first, that every Christian is a member of the body of Christ, and then that God sets the members of the body in the body as pleases Him, or as it is in keeping to His will. We read that from 1 Corinthians 12. And then that Christ, as the head of the body, equips the body by giving it members who are capable of various functions. And it mentions especially in Ephesians 4, the idea of apostles and prophets, that there would be the miraculous one-time offices that we find in the church. But then there are the providential for the continuing offices and functions in the church. And here we have shepherds, teachers, evangelists, and various members of the body. And when you get to the end of that little section, and especially Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, you note that the body, when the body is working properly, and working properly is defined by each part doing what it can, then it builds itself up, it grows and it builds itself up in love. So that general background of our reading of the passage is still in the background for what we're going to think about today. If you didn't get to be with us, at the top of that page, we tried to summarize the biblical work of the church in what kind of work the body is intended to do in these five ways. We said good news in the world, and we mean, of course, going into all the world and teaching the gospel to every creature. The idea of announcing good news is the first thing. The second thing, number B there, number two, is to take care of each other. Since we are members of the body, we have a kind of care for each other that the members of my body have. My right hand really cares about whether my left hand is all right or not. And if it's not, I have this reaction, like that, and you all do too. And that's what we mean by taking care of each other. And then we meet together for worship or to serve God. The meeting together, of course, on the first day of the week is why we're here today. And then edifying each other, instructing each other, teaching each other, and then helping those outside the church. In other words, doing good however we can, doing good however we can, in order to not only serve people, but also then to teach people about the Lord and His way. And that's kind of the background to all of this. Now, look down under number 7. This is kind of, I'm taking this one out of order because Debbie asked this question at the end of our class. Number 7, question number B. All right, everybody see that? Yes, there are. Anybody else need one? Please, I have plenty. Okay. Now look at the question that arises now against the background we've studied. It is, how could we get more of our members involved in doing something for the service of God? Debbie asked this in the context of how could we make sure that we are giving all the members of the body of Christ the opportunity to be involved, and then encouraging them, helping them, and equipping them, and so forth to do that. What's your immediate response to that question against the background of what we said last week? How would you answer it?
We need to get to know each other better so we know the talents that are not being used.
All right. One part of it would be the recognition of possibility, the recognition of talent, or if we use the word gift as we did before, the providential idea of God blessing the body with gifted members, with talented members, people who are really cut out to do certain things. So that would involve our knowing each other well enough to recognize talent and then to encourage its use, right? All right. Anybody else with a different answer from Yvonne's or an enlargement on hers? All right, Ruth?
Well, I wanted to ask last week, and she felt like it needed to be a grand project. Well, you know, there's such a thing as just little simple things that each person can't do. And it doesn't take a lot of grand talent or, you know, it doesn't take too much to call a friend and say we missed you at church.
Yeah.
Or send a card or, you know.
All right, yeah.
It doesn't need to be. The Lord said if you give a cup of cold water, He would recognize it.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to be aware that there's little simple things.
All right. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that observation. The first step might be to go back and look at the five things that we've said are the work of the church, and then notice, all right, how, in practical terms, how does that really get done? And you mentioned, Ruth mentioned, I'll get to you in just a second, Ruth mentioned visiting somebody who is lonely or whatever, or going to visit a visitor who visited us, or any of the ways you've already been served when you walked into the building today, or being present to encourage the people who are trying to be involved in benevolent work yesterday, you start thinking about the law, enlarging the concept of what it means to serve the Lord. Look at Matthew 25 at the parable of the sheep and goats, and I don't mean to look it up right now, but consider the ways in which the Lord gets served. It is not simply in a service, or not only in a service. It is That's a large part of the project. I like it. This is myself. Just, of course, having worked on the end of it, where people expect you to organize or to give them that opportunity. I liken it a whole lot to living in a family and having a home. Now, a whole lot of it. I remember earlier on in our marriage, the days when it would be cleaning up time or whatever. We weren't always like Todd, where we always kept it that way. We had so you're in the middle of these projects, and if you go and ask every time, "Well, all right, tell me what to do," then that became a frustrating thing. Like if Kay, if that was her realm, then if I would go every time, take one or two of the kids with me and say, "All right, what do we do?" That would get frustrating to her, because look around. The trash needs to be taken out. The floor needs to be vacuumed. The dusting needs to be done. The laundry needs to be folded. The beds need to be made, etc. So if one person has to define and organize all the rest of it, that person might as well just go ahead and do it himself or herself. Now, that's true in the Lord's family as well. If there is a bottleneck where everybody thinks that it's up to somebody else to show me what to do, then by definition, we have limited the functioning of a congregation. And I want to show you this. We're going to read these scriptures again in a second. So that's a huge part of it. In other words, the positive way of saying what Ruth said is, find a little thing to do and start where you can. What do you see that you would appreciate having someone help you with if you were that person? And that is always the beginning of service in the Lord's kingdom, I think. That's how grand projects do get started and do get organized. Somebody sees a need. Think about it this way. If you were a person who was cut out to be able to see a particular need that apparently everybody else is overlooking, might that indicate that you were gifted to attend to that work in ways that maybe other people are not? Would it? I mean, think it over. If you were somebody who saw Ruth, what was your illustration? You saw that somebody might be lonely, or there might be a sick person who could be helped, or a lonely person who could be helped, or whatever. Then that might indicate that showing mercy would be the realm that you're especially gifted to attend to. You see what I'm getting at? If you are somebody who notices every scuff on the floor and every thing outside here that needs to be trimmed and cleaned up, and if you notice every time the light is left on or there's paper in the floor or whatever, then serving might be a way that you are particularly equipped to help the body. And there are other ways. Norma, what were you going to say? Or have I talked so long you forgot that? Okay. There is a fact about being a part of the body that we have tried to note, and that is, it means that you are responsible for functioning or working. Now, one of the ways that Paul uses this teaching in 1 Corinthians 12, let me mention this. One of the ways that Paul uses this teaching in 1 Corinthians 12 is to say, all right, God set us in the body this way so that we would need each other and so that it would matter to each other. So one of the things that we do is help each other see when we're not attending to our part. And one of the ways that the Lord blesses the body so that it can function is that other members help us see what needs to be done, and then that shepherds help to see that the right people are doing the right thing, and the body does function by helping. Oh, and it's not always immediately, it's gradually. It's like what Yvonne said, by helping to identify who is best cut out for doing what. that if there's somebody who has a task and it's not attended to, then that is an indication that's not the person for that task. And that's when leaders have to attend to their task by saying, all right, have you noticed this? Are you not, do you not have time? Is this not what you're interested in anymore? I mean, a fellow told me one time when I was a young preacher, and that was a while back, that in the congregation, once you do something, it's your job. I have found that not scripturally true, but often practically true. So one of the ways we have to get back to the scripturally true part of it is, alright, the church, if this is a function important enough to do, something the church as a body needs done, and if the member who has that task is not able to do it, for whatever reason, inside him or outside him, then it's time for there to be a different dynamic for the health of the body, you see. So that's a good, the bad thing would be either to not care that that was happening, or for one member to simply get mad at the other one over it and then not do anything about it. You have the worst of all worlds in that way. Anybody else with this question?
Yeah.
Yes, Carl?
It seems to me like that we tend to carry the business mode of operation over into the Lord's church instead of the family mode.
All right.
In the business world, you don't do anything you don't have to do. If you volunteer for anything, you're in trouble.
Business or military, yeah.
The church instead of the family, where you need to see what needs to be done to it.
All right. That is a wise observation and a very, I think, a practical observation. I think Carl is, on to something there. If the business mode applied to the church first causes us to think that church is somewhere you go for other people to do stuff for you. But the church, in some religious organizations, if we're not careful, even advertise themselves in that way. You come here and we have this program for you. And we will satisfy you, we will keep your interests, we will, you know, all that kind of thing. And Carl doesn't say this, I don't say this as an excuse for inattention or inactivity or indifference. But that which honors the Lord is the model which regards it as family, where you take joy in doing what you can for the health and the well-being of the family. And so that idea is important. Anybody else? Well, I want to ask you to notice something from the passages that we read now. And this will, we'll not take the whole long time with this, hopefully, but just to notice with you, especially from three of these texts that we've already read, when you look back at them, one of the amazing things about these passages is that they do not spend a lot of time on the question we've just spent most of our class time on. Have you noticed this? These passages do not spend a great amount of time instructing Christians on how to identify their gifts or telling us how to organize big productions so as to involve everybody. That's an interesting thing. Second thing about this is, passages like these do not speak to us about how we're supposed to treat or involve other people. One of the key things about reading the Bible is, I never read the Bible to hear what it's saying to somebody else. when I read the Bible, it is never talking to somebody else. Who is it talking to? You. So I never find in the Bible instruction about involving other members of the body. What I find is the Bible wanting me to act like a member of the body and to be involved. Does that make sense to you? Maybe it doesn't. I want to take you back to the passages for a minute that we have read. And I'd like to start with the last one, 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. Just for time's sake today, I'm pretty much going to read these, and I'll try not to just preach at us, but each of these we read last time. Please notice now, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. All right, now there is a fact here. Each has received a gift. Remember, we talk about this in a providential way, not in a miraculous way, as was the case with one-time gifts like apostleship. These gifts are to be used for what purpose? To serve one another. And these gifts are to be used in what manner? Pardon? All right, that's the ultimate goal here. But as good stewards of God's manifold grace, what is a steward?
A servant.
A servant. All right, he's a servant. He's a particular kind of servant. He is a steward is someone who uses what belongs to someone else, or who cares for what belongs to someone else. And like a coach or a babysitter or a tenant farmer or any kind of thing like that. All right, now he goes ahead to say, whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength which God supplies. Now, what are the two great categories, the two basic categories of serving, for serving?
Speaking and doing good
to others. All right, speaking and serving. Does everybody see that? Now, both of them are areas of stewardship. But basically, the what kinds of things might involve speaking?
Encouraging others.
All right, encouraging others. So you broaden it beyond. So we're not only talking about when you have a crowd assembled, but is what Gene is telling us true or not? Are there some people who are better at offering encouragement than other people are?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. There are some people who can discourage you by encouraging, if you haven't noticed that. And so that's a kind of special kind of speaking, which is precious. What else? Speaking. Well, teaching would be one of the things. Preaching would be one of the things. There are other kinds of, like, not just encouraging, but what about exhorting, which is calling alongside, and a little stronger word, a little special kind of encouraging. What about admonishing, which is the kind of has a little bit of a warning even to it, a kind of a wake-up call to it. That's important. What about the kind of speaking that involves interacting with neighbors and so forth outside? Just bridge building, door opening, expressing what Christian character means and everything. What about serving? Tell me some ways of, some things that fit into that category. It's unlimited. Yeah, everybody should be able to think of one. What Todd and Brandy are doing, that's serving. What Brendan does at the school at Fairgrove, while it is not an activity of the church, he is taking the Lord, serving the Lord into a real life situation and living for the Lord in that situation. What Gene and Ruth did in being with Sherry, what Becky did, I happen to know that Becky, since Debbie was in the hospital and Barney had spent a lot of time, she helped him get ready for the event out there yesterday. I mean, everybody did, but not everybody's in our class. So there are all kinds of ways in which that happens. I wrote a sermon for us today that we're either going to enjoy or endure in a few minutes, and Scott took that outline and made a PowerPoint deal for us. So serving, I mean, it happens in a whole lot of ways. The Lord's Supper today, we'll observe the Lord's Supper. You guys may not know, but Norma comes in here every Tuesday and washes that stuff, cleans it up, takes care of it, prepares the things for this week. There are lots of people who serve in lots of different ways. Now, what responsibility does this passage lay on me? How might it answer the question of how we could get more members involved in the service of God? What does this say to me? All right. What it says to me is, do what you can, and do it for the glory of the Lord. I mean, it's basic terms. The faith says, it says here in this passage here, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. So faith says, look, there's something you can do. Matthew 25 with the parable of the talent. So do what you can, and do it for the Lord. If you're going to speak, though, you got to speak as oracles of God, which means you have to get ready for it. You have to think about what you're doing. It has to be true to the Lord's word. If you're going to serve, you have to serve not to get attention or not for people to notice you, but according to the strength that God supplies. That's the two great ideas that are there. All right, look back over to Romans 12 now. And we mentioned this passage last week. Let's see what we can see about this. Remember, it never speaks to somebody else. We found out here that this involves speaking and serving. Let's see if we can branch out here from these passages, in this passage here. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. All right, so what does this tell me as a member of the body?
Humble.
All right, to be humble. In what particular way to be humble? Bill, you cannot do, fill in the blank.
Nothing.
Not to, for my, that's true. That's too specific. For by the grace that was given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So every member needs to say to himself, Bill, you, and not Bill, but whoever you are, you cannot do, no one member can do
everything.
Okay, that's first. Not all right, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So every member needs to say, I can do something. Okay, now look at the passage. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members don't have the same functions. So we're not expected all be able to have to do the same thing. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. That's an interesting way to say it, by the way. Members of each other. We're not ever just free agents at this. So having gifts that differ according to the grace that was given to us, let us use them. And prophecy is the foretelling of God's word, not foretelling, but it when it means speaking or serving. It'd be speaking. So I'm going to put up here preaching. I think that would be the providential form of this. In proportion to our faith. In other words, do what you can do. If service, this would be any form of doing the kinds of things that are necessary for the body to be able to function, what you can to help people. The one who teaches, to his teaching or in his teaching, the one who exhorts, the one who contributes, which one would that be? I'll put it over here. This is idea of giving and so forth. The one who leads, this might involve both of these. And the one who does acts of mercy, particular kinds of good deeds. Now, in each of these cases, start with the last one and look back up through. The key thing is that these are to be done. The focus in Romans 12 is again not on which one I do. But if I do any of them, I do them in a particular manner. If I notice the need more, and if I find greater fulfillment and joy in this thing, and if the other members of the body help me to see that that's what I'm best at, then I do it. If it's mercy with cheerfulness, if it's leading, then with zeal. If it's contributing with generosity, if it's teaching, then do a good job in teaching and so forth. The idea is that one of the purposes of the Lord in this is not just that we get the work done, but that we do it in a way that makes it effective, that honors Him at it, that we enjoy and find fulfillment in. All right, now, here's the one of the issues that comes up. Has the other bell rung yet? One of the issues that comes up is that a lot of times, the person, a member of the body, may start by just doing something like this, and from there he may be asked to help. He may find that he also can do this or this or some other one of these activities. The way you find out that you can help in other ways is by starting and doing one. Now, I don't mean to ignore the responsibility that we have toward each other to spread out the opportunities to serve, to include people in ways in which they can grow, in ways that are noticeable, and so forth. It is the responsibility of church leaders to plan and try to provide a program of work that is great enough that it gives a chance to every member to be included. That is the organizational sort of part of this. The organic part of it is that every member tries to see himself as a member and to believe the Lord has blessed him with the ability as a person, and then to find ordinary ways to use that in everyday life. And that question about whether we can do that is a good question. Well, we still didn't get to all the other questions.
Quick observation.
Pardon?
Quick observation.
Okay.
On service within the body, there are extremes on both ends.
Yes.
There are those people that you cannot serve enough. They expect more. And there are those people that don't accept what service you would like to give.
It sounds like the voice of experience to me there. I think that's true. That is a way of saying that ultimately how we're doing at this has to be evaluated by the Lord. That He is, after all, the head of the body. And this gives us the impetus to move in that direction and try to see ourselves as members of the body and members of one another. Thank you for your patient time with us today. Everybody have a great week.